It's just been good to be in this series of thought about winning our world. I don't know about you, but it's an area of my heart. I'm a pastor first and foremost, but I love the opportunity of being able to reach into the lives of individuals. I've got my VIP list of people here, of those that I'm praying for, believing for, but I'm just not stuck with those. There are others that I want to reach, and as I'm walking along, we went out for a quick drive to the shops last night, and they were nice. And was it shops we went? And you said, "Is that the guy that you spoke to?" And there's this guy. He looked really worse for wear, but he's a person that I've spoken to and I'm praying for, and he's on my list of VIPs. And I just really want to encourage us to be a soul-winning church, winning our world. We've looked at several aspects. First aspect we looked at is that God wants a big family. How many of you know God wants a big family? This isn't big enough. And I know there's another church up the road, another church up the road, but there aren't enough churches to hold all the people in our town. We would have to be opening up Gospel Borough. Well, they can't hold that many either. But we'd have to build a purpose-built stadium to start holding the people that God wants in his house. I'll let you into a clue. God so loved the world that he gave his son. That's how many people God wants in his family. He wants the whole world to know him and come into a relationship with him. Will they? That's their choice. But you and I have an opportunity to win our world for him. Second thing that we looked at is the power of one. When we reach one, we start the process of multiplication. Who knows how many other people that one will reach? But the key is, are we reaching the one? Because the one can be the hardest one to start with. And I just really want to encourage you, don't look and say, there's 20,000 people I'd like to reach. Okay, but are you reaching one? You may have 50 friends, Facebook, let's go Facebook. You may have 100,000 people following you on Facebook, but are they your friend that you're going to lead to the Lord and bring salvation to their world? We've got to start reaching the one and then bring them into the house of God. And then we've also looked at the fact that we are ambassadors. You know, God has called us ambassadors. You're not ambassadors of the United Kingdom or some country that you've come from. You may be, who knows? But we are all called to be ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. And the message that we are called to bring is reconciliation in relationship with God. That's the message. It's not a message of anything else. The message that we bring, we are all called to be ministers of reconciliation. So that's our call. Ever wonder what on earth you're here for? There you go. You're an ambassador representing the kingdom to bring one more person into a relationship with God. When you know how much and how good salvation is to you as an individual. If we really pull back the onion skin and really understood absolutely with clarity how good salvation is, you'd constantly be talking about God to everybody that you meet. We see in part, we know in part, we speak in part. But I pray that you get a revelation, not just today, not just over the last few weeks, but the realization that we have been commissioned by God to go into our world as an ambassador with the message of reconciling the world back to God. What a fantastic mission we're on. Yeah, I'm pleased you're excited about that as well. Right, I'm going to ask you a question now. You provoked me to a question. You and I need to ask ourselves this question. Do you want to live your life pointing others to Jesus?
Yes.
Now, that's a really interesting question, really. Because if you want to live your life pointing others to Jesus, what are you like in a traffic jam when people are pulling in and annoying you? What are we like When somebody blames you for something at work that you know it wasn't you that did it. See, that if we're wanting to point people to Jesus, what do? We actually should turn the other cheek. But that's not always easy to do, is it? We want to justify our position. We want to qualify what actually took place. But actually, in doing that, we're not pointing people to Jesus. We're saying, my soul is worth more than this moment. I just really want to challenge us, okay? I want to get into the chipboard. You know, it's easy to live on the veneer, but I want to get in the chipboard of your life and actually mess with your life a little bit today. Is that okay? I'm sure if Jesus was here, it wouldn't just be nice and sweet. He would actually dig away at the core of our life because he wants to see change. How many, you know, he's speaking to Peter, and Peter's turned around and said, oh, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's got this amazing revelation. Then Jesus said, I'm going to go and die. And Peter says, no, you're not God. No, you're not Jesus. It's not going to happen to you. And Jesus then turned around and said, get behind me, Satan. It's interesting that Jesus spoke into the very core of people's hearts to see change in their lives. I don't ever want to stand here and tickle your ears and say, there, have a wonderful preach and a sermon. Now go out the door happy. I want to challenge you in the journey of your life so you can live your best life. Because it's about living our best life, isn't it? So, my question is, do we want to live our lives pointing others to Jesus? Consider your words. You know, I look around the room and I know quite a few of you. I know more of you more personally on a more personal level. And there's some in the room that aren't here. I know, and I know their journey. Can I just say this? When you swear, you sound like the world. Now, I know that's landing in your heart, but it's also treading on your toes. When the world hear you speak like they speak, it doesn't point them to Jesus. It's gone very quiet in this room. Woo! When you start talking about a film that you've watched that really isn't edifying, think on these things, Jesus said, or the Bible says. Think on those things that are honest, pure, praiseworthy, of good report. When you watch a movie that perhaps should have a triple X to it, not just an X, and you start having a conversation with somebody at work about that movie, is that pointing them to Jesus, or is it saying, I'm just like you? I'm right in the deep end now. I might as well keep going, and I. Do we want our lives to point others to Jesus? As we allow the Holy Spirit to transform us, because we've not all made it, true. And we all do make mistakes along the way, true. But as we allow the Holy Spirit to move and live and abide on the inside of us, there should be transformation taking place. That we are being transformed from one degree of glory to the next. Our lives shouldn't be stuck in a rut. You know, what our life was like when we got saved 20 years ago or 5 years ago or 5 months ago, we shouldn't still be looking at that person saying, well, I know I've grown a little bit, but I still say certain things and I still behave in a certain way. Come on, Holy Spirit, bring transformation. Bring Christ likeness in my life. Let the fruit of the Spirit, which is now in me, let me draw from the fruit and live like I should. Transformation starts. Lord, your word I treasure and I put in my heart. Psalm 119, verse around about 6. How can a young man keep his way pure. That means when you're telling jokes in the tea room and you say, wow, this is a bit of a naughty one, I really shouldn't be saying that. Well, you know you should stop right there. But to be like others, to blend into the world around us, we then say the joke, but it doesn't point them to Jesus. They just go walking away thinking, I thought they were meant to be a Christian. Anyway, we all are on this journey. And I just want to encourage you, no matter where you are, whether you're 5-day-old Christian, 5-year, 50-year, or longer, we're on a journey. So don't be condemned this morning, just change. And allow the Holy Spirit, it's not down to me and it's not down to some other person to change you. It's about allowing the Holy Spirit to change you, because he will want to continue to change you to the day you go to be with him in glory. It's a journey. None of us should be standing here saying, oh yeah, I heard that person and I know that person is like that. No, we're not here to judge one another. We're here to honor God with our lives and a walk before him, accountable to him. Each one should work out his salvation with fear and trembling before the Lord. Do you know what? Every one of us in this room has got a story to tell. Ephesia, you got a story to tell. You got a journey in your life. That moment when, as you were growing up and you came to know the Lord as your Lord and Savior, that moment that began to change this journey of your life. It's your story. And I love the fact that in that story, it's real. And nobody can take that story away from you. Your story, unraveled by God's love, brought transformation to your journey. Stuart, in your life, there's a journey to tell. There's a story of your life that is being outplayed even tomorrow and your next week and your next 10 years. As you align yourself in his will, your life can go up that's, if you like, that spiritual ladder of encounter with God, where you just step back and say, goodness, 10 years ago I thought I knew him. Now I know him. What a journey that would look like and feel like. And that's the same for everybody. In your story is so real. I know my journey, and I've shared it over and over again. I'm not going to share it again. I don't want to bore you, but it's my journey, my story. I know how God turned my life around. I know the miracle. Literally, every Sunday standing here is a miracle of God's grace upon my life. And if it was down to my natural self, I would not be out the front here. But God. Next Sunday, we have My Church Sunday. Our My Church Sunday is where we have a couple of people sharing their life story. And next week we've got two people. I don't know whether to announce who they are. We'll just come and see. Hands up if you want to know who they are. Hands up if you want to see who they are next week. Come and see. There we go. The come and sees. So if you want to know who they are next week, you've got to be here. If you're thinking all week long, I wonder who they could be. Well, but there's two incredible stories, two lives that were turned around and changed by the power of God in their journey. And next week is a great opportunity to bring your unsaved friends. I know a couple who are bringing 15 unsaved friends to church next Sunday. You say, where are we going to put them all? I don't know. We'll move the front row to the front of the stage. 15 people coming next week. Who are you bringing? We're hopefully bringing our neighbor. She's on our target list. You'll see her next week if she's here again. You'll think, poor lady, living next door to them. My church Sunday, who will you bring? If we need every believer in this room to evacuate so that the unbelievers are in the room, let's do that. If we need all of us, other than me, us out there, out there in the sun, let's do it. But let's fill this place with people who don't know Jesus Christ yet. We live in a world where everyone's got an opinion. Have you ever noticed that? Everyone's got an opinion about something. And everybody's got an opinion about how they should outreach and reach their world. Some people think we should be sort of like almost anarchists and be rebellious and just, you know, who cares who's listening? And just, I've been there. I know what that feels like. I shared on my outreach Win Your World at the beginning of the year, and we were doing this little outreach that was just reaching those in the community. It's beautiful, singing a few songs on the guitar. Not me personally, but someone was. And Mark Smith, I think it was, in the time. And then it was my turn to preach. There was no one around except for two ladies sat on a bench. And I started preaching to the atmosphere and, you know who you are, you need to get saved. Well, there was just two ladies on a bench. My enthusiasm for God just took hold of me. And I started to preach and get all excited. And it's like, how embarrassing this is for these two ladies who are sat there, knowing I'm preaching over here, but they're there, sat there. Do you know what? When you get so full of God and so passionate for him, sometimes what we do may not always work out right. They didn't get saved. I think they walked off eventually. But there was a seed sown. Who knows who the next person was that touched their life? Everyone has an opinion. I reckon one of the best ways to reach our world is to live a life that points them to Jesus. In our words and in our actions. It's not just proclamation evangelism, you know, just saying and declaring. It's actually, you can say what you like, but if your life doesn't match up, no one's going to believe a thing you say. But you just can't win people to the Lord by just living good lives. There has to be a combination of all of it coming together. You live a good life, you represent the kingdom well, and you speak the kingdom truths. It's got to be a combination of the both. Listen to this. In John chapter 13, verse 35. By this, all will know that you are my disciples. If you have love for one another. One of the reasons why for the last 5 years in this building, we've been emphasizing and bringing the congregation together the best we can through food and social activities and prayer and worship nights is so that we genuinely have a love and concern and a care for one another. That you're not just a person who attends, that actually your life matters, your family, your journey, what's going on in your world. It matters because we care, and we care as a church. When you go through tough times, we want you to go through that together with us. When there's pressure, we want you to understand we will walk with you. We'll lift up your arms. We'll pray. We'll stand as a congregation with you. We will walk with you. We'll talk with you along life's narrow way, because there is a love within this house, and we want that love to go deeper and stronger for every one of us. There's another same scripture but different translation. It says, if you have love and unselfish concern for one another. Is there an unselfish, you know, oh, I just need to run, but I needed to chat with you, pastor. You know, I'm caught between two worlds. I need to run, but actually this is more important. Sometimes just being so unselfish and kind to one another. Same scripture, different translation says, when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you are my true followers. Just look around this congregation. You know, in your connect groups, this is why we really want to emphasize connect groups. Because in connect groups, I look at different connect groups that are represented in this room, and I know that there is a deep care, love, and support in those groups. The ministry teams, the worship team, and different teams within the church, the food caring program, caring hands, food support, there is a deep love and care and concern for one another and the community we serve. But I want that for everybody. I would encourage you, join a small group. Join a team. Whatever that looks like. Not because I want you to serve, but I do. But actually, you will feel a deeper sense of connection, love, and support amongst the congregation. The love of God is so powerful. I know of people, ministers, and others, that when pastors start speaking about the love of God, they almost mock it. That lovey-dovey, oh, you want to love people into the kingdom? I tell you what, it was love that sent Jesus to the cross. He said, God is love. He's not power, he's not judgment, he is love. And the same love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts that we love one another. I tell you what, love is the most powerful force on the face of this earth. It was love that sent Jesus to the cross. It was his undying love for you and I that brought us to the place of salvation. Love is the most powerful. It's not, it is power. It demonstrated a power. And it's so important that we don't mock it, that we harness it, because it shows the world the love of God. And we need to harness that in our life. Our evangelism is our words and our action. Our lives should reflect Jesus. You know, when you're sitting there in front of your TV and you're getting frustrated with it, you hear the news or you hear a report that you think, that's just so wrong. Does it send you to your knees to pray? Or do you start shouting at the TV and throwing things at it? What should we be doing? As a Christian, as a representative of the kingdom of heaven, we should hear the news and pray. Not hear the news and shout and swear and whatever else would come out of our mouth. No, we pray for the individual. The country voted, that shows my allegiance more than that. Okay. This nation voted for the Labour Party. And we have a Labour Party that is doing so-called its best for the nation. But without God, it's never going to do good enough. In fact, those who voted for the Conservatives, and the Conservatives were leading our nation, their best was not good enough. And whoever we get in, and you can look at Reform and you can look at whoever is in government in our nation will never be good enough. The nation and the world is broken. And nobody can fix it. Not even a Donald. I didn't say Donald Trump, Donald Duck, or Donald anybody else. Nobody can fix our world because it's broken. But Jesus can help us walk in this world unbroken. That's key. that as individuals, we live unbroken lives in this world. And that when we hear something or we see something, we don't join in with how the world would behave. We join in with all heaven and say, we need you to break through. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, something happens to that. The problem is the Christians today, in our yesterday, we haven't prayed like we should have prayed. The redeemed of the Lord should say so, but the redeemed of the Lord haven't said so like they should have done. We're living in a generation where we need to humble ourselves and say, Lord, we're sorry for the mess that the nation is in, because the Christians in the past, and I don't want to be one of those Christians in our today, or as a result, the generations that come after us are looking back at this generation and saying, if only they had prayed, if only they had said so. We got an opportunity as Christians to live different in our world. So what is the key? What is the key to reaching our world? Jesus, it is love, yes, whoever said it. Yes, you're right. The key is what Jesus spoke in Matthew 5. In Matthew 5, it's the Sermon on the Mount. You know, on that sermon, you've got thousands upon people on that Sermon on the Mount. And all of Jesus' disciples are there with him. And they're hearing this. And I want, you know, let your imagination run wild. You're on the Sermon on the Mount. I'm Jesus and I'm speaking these words. I don't know how good your imagination is. There we go. I've got a short beard. He would have had a bigger beard than mine. This is what Jesus would say this to us right here and right now. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? What a moment. We are the salt of the earth. And we bring flavor, a seasoning to this world. I tell you what, there is coming a moment when the believers will be raptured out of this world. We will meet him in the air. We will be with him in glory. And I tell you what, the salt of the earth will be removed. And everyone who's left will know something's missing. You think there's anarchy in the world today? All hell will break loose upon this planet when we as believers are sucked out of this place. You think financially the worlds are in turmoil? I'll tell you what, you wait until the Christians are out of here and the salt of the earth is gone. There will be absolute hell break loose on this earth. At the moment, the salt is here. Do you think of one good reason why we should be reaching our lost friends, family, neighbors, work colleagues? There's coming a day, and none of us know it. The second coming, we'll know the times and the seasons, or we'll know the seasons, but we won't know the time of the hour. We'll know the seasons. But the rapture is completely different. Like a thief in the night, he'll come. When nobody was expecting it, nobody saw it coming. All of a sudden, we'll be taken up with him in glory. But those who are left, woe to those who are left upon this earth. What did Jesus teach? Sorry, let me get back to it. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Is it then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men? You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. It's not let your light be shine before God. It's let your light shine before men. This little light of mine. This little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Now, do you believe it? Come on. What's going to happen when we walk out this door today? Put it under a bushel now. I'm going to let it shine. Put it under a bushel now. I'm going to let it shine. Maybe not, maybe will, maybe I won't, maybe I will. Come on. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Monday morning comes, this little light of mine. Cause it's easy in here. On Monday morning, I'm gonna let it shine. On Tuesday morning, I'm gonna let it shine. On Wednesday morning, I'm gonna let it shine. On Thursday morning, I'm gonna let it shine. Friday morning, I'm gonna let it shine. And the weekend's here and we're back in here. That rhymed and I didn't... I'm praying that you get that little song in your head. And you say, oh, Holy Spirit, just take it away. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Who sung that as a child? Yes, indeed. Let your light so shine before men. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, your good behavior, your good language, your good attitude, your good kindness, your goodness, your good-heartedness, your good works, and they will glorify your Father in heaven. Come on. This is just good news. I want to live my life. When you go into the petrol station to fill up with fuel next time. Who fills up their car each week? Every other week? You got miracle gas that you never run out. Come on, join in with me. As soon as you hear the beep. So, does anybody put petrol or diesel in their car? Give me a wave if you do. Okay. The next time you go and put fuel in the car, I try to encourage everyone to do it at Asda at one time, but Asda and Fareham now have got automated service, all right? Grange Road is the cheapest place to get your fuel. Yes. Everyone agree?
Yes.
How many of you go there? Right, here's a challenge. Everybody else who doesn't go there, go to Grange Road to get your fuel, and every one of us who go in there and you pay for your fuel, turn around to the bloke behind the counter and say, Jesus loves you. Can you imagine? All week long, he's got people going in there saying, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. Do you think he's going to get the point at the end of the week? How exciting would that be, Phil? Are you going to do it? I'll make sure of it. We'll drive around the town. I'm going to do it. Anyone going to join me? Oh, goodness me. What have I just preached for the last 45 minutes? I don't care if it's this week. You may have filled up yesterday and you may not have to go back there for 2 weeks. But who's going to go in there, pay for the fuel and tell him Jesus loves him? I am. Oh, I thought I preached far better than that this morning. Oh, in fact, I'm getting a twinge in my heart. Salt and light. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I think I'm going to make it my challenge to go into that petrol station We'll do another one in a couple of weeks' time, perhaps, and we'll do the car wash. We'll find a car wash and we'll go and target them. What, can you imagine the effect? Then we'll find a cashier in Asda or Sainsbury's, wherever the most of us shop, and we'll say, right, it's going to be aisle number 3, Trinity, okay? Aisle number 3 or aisle number 7, Trinity or the perfect number, whichever you want to go by, and we'll all go in and we'll start targeting. It's called mass evangelism. Because if I don't do something that's going to motivate you, when are you going to reach your one? Think about it. When was the last, who was and when, how many years ago, months ago, days ago, was the last person you shared your life? We need buildings, all right? We need a building. It is, praise the Lord. Yes. So I went and met up with a property developer this week. He's the director of Trafalgar. I think it's Trafalgar. And I met up with him as I was walking towards him. I know the time's gone, but don't worry about that. I was walking towards him and I put out my hand. He said, "Jeff." I thought, "Hello, Graham." Well, I had his information because I'd made the appointment. He had my name, so there's nothing weird there, right? He's like, "Yeah, Jeff, Graham, great, we met, yeah." So, and I'm walking with him, and he says, "I'm sure I know you." I was thinking, I don't recognise you. He said, "You went to Broome Park, didn't you?" I said, "Yeah, I did. Yeah," I said, "Were you there?" He said, "Yeah." I think this is weird. He said, "How old are you?" I thought, "You rude thing." And then I realised, no, I'm a man, so I don't mind. Oh, sorry. I said, 59. He said, "Oh, I'm 57. He said, "You must have been 2 years above me then." I thought, I didn't know anyone 2 years below me. I wouldn't have mixed with them. They were kids. I was thinking, he knows me. He said, you used to live in Elson, didn't you? I think you've been stalking me. You know all about me. I'm not even on Facebook, but you know all about me. And then we just had this conversation. He's talking about, why do you want this building? I said, I've got a church that's growing. Amazing things are happening. Just a brilliant church. I love it. He said, "Well, what on earth got you into church?" And I'm thinking, what did he know about me at school? Now, I did get into a few fights at school. I must admit it. I was cruel to a few people. I'm thinking, was it him I was cruel to? You know, I didn't put anyone's head down the toilet when they joined the school. That wasn't me. And I'm thinking, I don't know, this is really weird. And then I thought, maybe it's because I was such a good runner, he remembered me 2 years above him for my running. I was thinking, this is really weird. Anyway, I said, "Oh, the church." I said, I could tell you my testimony. He said, "Oh, yeah, feel free to, please do." So I was just about to tell him my testimony and he changed the subject. I thought, you cheeky so-and-so. But you've asked me to do it. So I don't care whether it takes me the next 20 minutes or half an hour or half a day. You're going to hear my testimony. You asked me. So we were walking back to the van and his car. And I thought, I'm not going to lose this moment. You're my one. I've not had another opportunity this week because of circumstances, but you're my one. And I shared about the church, and I shared about how God impacted my life and how I walked into Jane's dad's church, and it's like everyone thought I was in there to cause trouble with my leather jacket, my leather gloves, my black sunglasses, my black eye. Everyone thought I was there for trouble. But God spoke to me in that moment, and I saw a man at the front who was a preacher who seemingly enjoyed what he was doing. Hopefully you look at me and you think, this guy seems to enjoy what he's doing. And I do. And then I shared about the fact that I gave you the nod and the wink, and I walked out, and then 2 weeks later we're on our first date. And over that week, We were watching snooker and the love of God came through Jane's heart into this stony, hard heart. And I just cried for 2.5 hours and all that hurt, pain and past came out. And he's just listening to all that's going on. And then I start to tell him about the gun and all the crazy things that I wanted to do. But I said, nothing could have changed my life more than the love of God. That's why I'm so defensive when I hear other preachers and ministers of the word say about this gooey, fluffy love. No, it changed a hard heart that was rejecting God all his life. But then suddenly it changed and changed his life forever. This guy listened. He's taken my number. I've now got his email, and he's not off my list. Graham's his name. You don't need to know his surname. You know his business. But anyway, Graham's his name. I want to see Graham saved. I want to see, God wants to see Graham saved. Therefore, it's on my heart to see Graham saved. God wants your son saved. I'm looking around at the Darren and the Jerry, the Dave and Katie's. Who else has got a son that they want to see saved? Do you know what? Who's got a neighbour they want to see saved? Who's got a friend? If you don't put your hand up on one of these, I'm going to pray that you just go and get raptured or something, you know. Take them home, Lord. Then what are they doing? On earth? Better off in heaven. We've all got someone we want to see saved. You may be here this morning and you haven't got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. God wants you to have one. God wants you to have an encounter with him. God wants you to come into his family so that you know him, not at a distance, not know about him, but know him in a real way. Because knowing him at a distance, he's my parents' God or Savior, or he's my brother's God, but I don't know him personally. You'll never know what the goodness of God feels like. You'll never know what this journey of faith and the excitement that God brings. You'll never know it. But God wants to come into your heart this morning. So I'm going to just invite everyone to pray. I'm going to ask if you pray this and you pray it sincerely and you really mean it and you say, God, I mean business, then I want you to put up your hand at the end. I'm going to invite you to do so. And then we'll just give you some literature. So let's pray together. I'm going to pray first, you pray after me. Father God, I come to you today and I acknowledge that Jesus died for me. He died in my place. He died for my sin and dealt with the issue. The choice today is mine. And I choose you to come into my heart, to be my Lord and Savior, and to receive you as my King. Jesus, right now, take my sin, take my mistakes, forgive me, and I receive you right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. While every head is bowed and every eye closed. If you're here and you prayed that prayer this morning, I'm going to ask you to be brave. It's not brave amongst people, it's brave before God, but also brave against the work of the enemy that would want to keep you unsaved. I'm going to count to three. If you prayed that prayer this morning, would you pop up your hand? 1, 2, 3. If you prayed that prayer, thank you. I see that hand at the back there. So anybody else in this room, you say, yeah, that's me. Thank you. I see that hand right at the back. So anybody else in this room, you say, yeah, that's me. I need Jesus in my life to forgive everything so that I've got a clean slate moving forward. So that when I die, I will go to be with Jesus in heaven and not in a lost eternity. I'm going to count down from five. If there's anybody else, just pop up your hand. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Father, I thank you right across this room that lives have been impacted for salvation. Lord, I pray, Lord, that today is the day of salvation to everyone, even the ones and the twos who believe, and we celebrate with them. But Father, for all of us in this room, Lord, I pray that this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Fantastic. Okay, just before you get up, charge out the door or get your drink or come and say hello to me, we got just a couple of things. On Sunday, the 1st of June, next Sunday, is our My Church Sunday, and it's an excellent opportunity to bring the unsaved into the house of God, and we would encourage you to do so. The hosting team should have some invite cards. Grab them and invite your friends. Sunday, the 1st of June in the evening, we have our worship and prayer. That's at 6:30. Don't feel like, oh, you know, I don't know how to pray, or I don't know if my kids will be welcome. All kids are welcome. And if you don't know how to pray, just join in, because we'll all be praying together in an incredible way. So be a part of that. Global Sunday. I love our Global Sunday. Global Sunday is on the 8th of June. We want you to be involved. If you'd like to be a part of the service and helping us prepare, set up, be creative, sing, translate, dance, or do something else, don't forget to bring food. All right? We're going to have a feast on that day after the service. Hopefully the weather will be good and we can go out into the gardens and have fun. So if you like your fish and chips, order some fish and chips. If you like pizza, bring your pizza, but we're going to have loads of food here. And make sure we have some desserts as well, because I am a bit partial to a dessert or two. Not just for me, it's about, there's another lady over there that likes dessert. Some people look at me as if you filthy thing, you. Cakes are fine, yeah. Oh, yeah, please do. Please bring, praise the Lord. And then on Sunday, the 22nd of June, if you've never been baptized, we're going to be doing our baptisms at Second Chance Land at 1 p.m. So straight after the service, we're going to head down there. We're going to have a picnic lunch and we're going to celebrate. I think there's at least 3, possibly 4 getting baptized on that day. So we want to encourage you to be a part of the family. We'll send out exact details because it's a bit hard to find, but it's going to be a great time together. And if you haven't been baptized and you'd like to be, please speak to me and we'll add you to that list of people, okay? Fantastic. Have a wonderful rest of your day.